It's good to be with you. And I consider it a high honor to stand before you today, before this table. And in my mind, I feel that maybe this is one of the most important appointments a man can have. To stand and to, as it were, bring to remembrance people's hearts and minds in a memorial. Although the Lord has risen, we know He lives. It is a solemn thing that we do here this day. And my prayer is that as the Spirit has moved upon me in preparation, I hope and pray that that same Spirit will carry into your hearts those words and that He will be able to put into words those thoughts which I have that He's given to me. This we do in remembrance of His broken body and spilt blood. And I want to share with you a few scriptures as we think about the sacrifice which He gave for us, and then also the redemption we've received. If you have your scriptures, I would invite you to turn to Mosiah 8, 28 through 37. And this is the prophet Abinadi before the court of King Noah. And now Abinadi said unto them, I would that ye should understand that God Himself shall come down among the children of men and redeem His people. And because He dwelleth in the flesh, He shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son, the Father because He was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and the Son. And they are one God, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. And thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation, and yieldeth not to temptation, but suffereth Himself to be mocked and scourged and cast out and disowned by His people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, He shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Yea, even so, He shall be led, crucified and slain, the flesh becoming subject even unto death, the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon Himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. And in the scripture, I would recall your mind to the fact that He talks about breaking the bands of bondage, the bonds of sin, the bands. And Doctrine and Covenants 17, verse 5. Wherefore the Almighty God gave His only begotten Son, as it is written in those scriptures, which have been given of Him. He suffered temptation, but gave no heed unto them. He was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven to sit down on the right hand of the Father, to reign with almighty power according to the will of the Father, that as many as would believe and be baptized in His holy name and endureth in faith to the end should be saved. Not only those who believe after He came in the meridian of time in the flesh, but all those from the beginning, even as many as were before He came, who believed in the words of the holy prophets, who spake as they were inspired by the gift of the Holy Ghost, who truly testified of Him in all things, should have eternal life, as well as those who should come after, who should believe in the gifts and callings of God by the Holy Ghost. And in this last verse, it talks about who should believe in the gifts and callings of God. They are saved. This scripture points to the fact that The ordinances and the authority are necessary for us to have salvation. And in John, 1 John, chapter 4, starting at 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And in verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And this scripture dawned upon me in a new light here recently. And it finally hit me that the whole reason we can love is because He loved us. He created us out of His love. So we were created by love. And I want to speak to you today about the power of redemption and how Christ can take the stony heart and turn it towards Himself. And only God has that power. Only Christ can do that. And it comes through His salvation and through His redemption, through believing on His name and being baptized. As humans, our hearts and our minds and our wills can become so solidified and so cemented and so hardened in what we think is right and what we should be doing that we lose sight. We don't want to change, do we? It's in our nature to stay the same and to stay the course and to believe that what we're doing is right. My daughter is getting to be 14 years old now. And for any parents out there, you know that that brings with it a whole new realm of parenting. And the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, we were discussing the issues of life, and she was sharing her viewpoints and I was sharing mine. And it got me to thinking that, you know, I'm her parent. I cannot change anything in her mind or in her heart. If I were to try and do that, I would risk destroying our relationship if I were to force her to do anything. And I see within her mind, her world is changing and expanding. You know, she's at that age where the world is changing right in front of her eyes rapidly. And I see that. I get that. And, you know, in the scripture, it talks about Christ being filled with his bowels being filled with compassion. And not that Christ necessarily needed to come down. He did. He did live a life as a human. But being God, He knows everything. But He came down and lived as man lived so that He would know, so that He could say, I know. I've walked in your shoes. I've walked that path. My daughter, as I interact with my daughter and I hear her viewpoints and I see her life changing, and I can think back to the days when I was her age. Not that, you know, I mean, being a young man, a little bit different. But the point is that at that age, you see the world so much differently. And I can look back and I can see that. I can see how I used to view the world and how my mind idealized it and compartmentalized and summed it all up. So I see that. But I also recognize that I can't change her heart. I can't change any one of your hearts. It's not up to me to convince you of anything. It's up to the Spirit of God to carry that into your heart. And as parents, we have, when we take on parenthood, and even in a relationship for that matter, but I use parenthood as an example, don't we kind of take part in agreement, an unwritten, unspoken agreement that we will forgive our children? They're young, they're growing up, they make mistakes, right? And we forgive them because we know that most of the time it's ignorant. They do it ignorantly. But sometimes they do it knowingly, right? And they rebel. But we forgive them because we feel this mercy. We feel this grace towards them, this forgiveness. Why is that? Why do we have that? It points back to the scripture I just read in John. Because he first loved us, we love. How can I give you a quarter if I don't have a quarter to give? I have to be given a quarter first before I can give it away. So the mercy and the forgiveness that we exhibit towards others has been given to us. That's what gives us the capacity to do that. The love that we've heard all about today through our services. For those of you who weren't here, you missed out on some wonderful services. But this love was this overwhelming thread, common thread, this subject that we talk about. And especially on a day such as today when we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for each one of us. So we have this mercy and this forgiveness because He gave it to us. He gave us His love. He loved us. So we have a capacity to love. Now, some of you sitting out there say, well, nobody ever gave me love. I don't have that capacity. I don't know what it's like to be able to forgive. I don't have that capacity because I was never given that in my life. I'm here to tell you that you have a Father. For those of you who never had parents growing up, for those of you who lacked, and we all do, because our earthly parents cannot provide everything we need. They are an avenue, they're a mediator, so to speak. But we have a Father, and He gave His Son, and He came down, and He walked this earth, that His bowels might be filled with compassion, so that He can say to us, I know, because we have such a tendency, don't we, when somebody's standing across from us to say, you don't know what I'm going through. Christ can say, He knows. And because He gave that gift to us first when He created us, the whole hope that rests within this world that we see before us, whether the person's a non-believer or not, the hope that lies within this world is Jesus Christ, and people don't even recognize it. It's not just with us. The hope is throughout the world. It's Jesus Christ. When the plan was laid from the foundation in ether, Jesus speaks to the brother of Jared. He says, I was prepared from the foundation of the world. This was from before anything physical ever existed. So this hope started from the foundation so that all those who believed, and any hope that's in the world, whether or not people believe in a God or believe in the God, the hope is Jesus Christ. So the only reason we can exhibit mercy and love and forgiveness is because Christ first showed that to us. It's a gift He's given to us. And how are we using that gift? How do we use that gift? And we sit here today ready to reach forth. And I trust that each one of you have made preparation. We try. And we always are. I'm always found left asking myself, was it enough? That answer will be answered, I'm sure, soon enough. Do you have this mercy in your life? Are you able to exhibit this mercy in your life? Are you able to forgive? Are you able to love? If you can't, if you find it a struggle, I would encourage you to cry out to the Lord, because He is the only one who can teach you how to love. Yes, some of us have been fortunate enough to have parents to help us. But I know people in my life that haven't had that. They've had to ask the Lord, help me to be a mother, help me to be a father. Help me to be what You want me to be. So it doesn't matter what kind of background we come from. It does matter because it's happened to you. But the bottom line is that Christ stands ready and he's there and he is the light of the world. And he proved that. And now we have this beautiful table set before us and this meal that will be blessed to the sanctification of this bread and wine to our souls. Now that's not just our physical flesh, our physical body, or our mental mind. This is everything, our whole soul. What we do here today will carry on into eternity. Through all eternity. So I would encourage you to redouble our efforts. We need to redouble our efforts and be sure that we are striving to come to this table each and every time and each and every day to make ourselves clean and pure, a clean vessel that can bear the waters of life, to bear the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we went down into the waters of baptism, we said we die. But when we rose again from the water, our vessel was for Christ to live in through us. That was the agreement. That was the covenant. For those of you who have not yet made your covenant, I would encourage you to think seriously. Seek out a member of the priesthood. Study. Read your scriptures. Because there's power in these ordinances. There's power in the authority that Christ has brought back to the earth in these latter days. Salvation comes through the ordinances, the saving power of the ordinances. And so for those of you who have not yet made your covenant, I would encourage you to pray and ask God, because He will heal you of whatever has been your situation. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that ye may walk blameless before Him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. You have been received into the holy order of God through the waters of baptism. We are to walk in that holy order. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal. I heard a young lady pray this morning, and she asked the Lord to bless them in their school and in their sporting activities. And she was praying according to the scriptures, because she was asking the Lord to bless them in whatever they did. Nothing's too small. Always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and then ye will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets who have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless, in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out.